الحمد لله الذي فرض الصلاة وجعلها قرة عين العابدين وحلية المتقين وملاذ المؤمنين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: وأقم الصلاة لذكري. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, sustainer, and salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his pure and noble family, and upon the righteous and guided companions, and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, we have yet again gathered by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which we will attempt to seek the true guidance from the glorious Qur'an, from the beautiful sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, by which we will illuminate our hearts and our minds and enable ourselves to remain steadfast on the path of Islam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions and efforts, and make this day and this moment a means for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. On the previous Jumu'ah, we began our discussion on the blessed and sacred journey of Al-Isra and Mi'raj. And within that, we discussed three very important aspects related to Isra and Mi'raj, which is the gift of Salah, the promise of forgiveness to the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And we discussed the first two, and inshallah al-Aziz, we will continue with that discussion, hopefully conclude that discussion today as well. As a reminder and as a summary from last week, for those who arrived slightly late, the first thing was the gift of Salah. And to understand that this gift came from the highest and the furthest of heavens, the furthest place in the cosmos and in the universe. It has come from a sacred and elevated place, none other than from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also discuss the final core pieces of advice from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which was Salah and wama malakat aymanukum, and to safeguard and take care of those people that you are responsible for. And we also discuss that the first question that the Muslims will be asked on the day of Qiyamah is that of your Salah, whether you established it, whether you fulfilled it, and to what degree and what capacity did you excel in your Salah. And if you are successful in the outcome of Salah, then you will be successful in all of the other aspects of your deen. And then we discussed how Salah is the core and the essence, the trunk of our deen, which supports all of the other pillars of our deen. And it is the energy that gives us life and gives us meaning. And the simple example that I gave you was that of electricity. how everything in this dunya primarily functions off electricity. And if you remove the electricity, how it changes the life of individuals in an immediate manner and capacity. And how we have this fear of being away from electricity and the power ports and various other things. And we always make sure that we are nearby. And similarly, the salah is that electricity and that energy which enables you to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which enables you to function in the correct manner and keeps you in the protection and the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will discuss few more virtues related to salah, because this is the opportunity for our elders and for the parents to instill within their children and remind them the importance of salah. And it's something that you have to actively engage in. You have to overcome the laziness and the procrastination in your life, and also sometimes the deliberate and willful intention to keep away from the salah. So these are things that you have to actively do in order for you to achieve the objective and the goal of salah. Because the hellfire itself is surrounded by whims and desires. I.e. the shaitan makes everything that leads towards the fire of hell look easy and look simple and look attractive. And by you giving into your desires and your whims, then you end up going further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the paradise itself is surrounded by adversity, is surrounded by difficulty, is surrounded by challenges and tribulations. And this is why you see in the lives of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, them traversing through all of this adversity and difficulty. And similarly, we ourselves, especially for Salatul Fajr, and equally for Salatul Isha, and the remaining Salah throughout the day, you have to put in an active effort in order for you to overcome your whims and your desires and your challenges and the work and your family and various other things, especially your sleep and the food and your friendship, to overcome all of those and then to sacrifice that and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the things that you have to remember, that salah is not something which you think can just be achieved just like that. You have to give something in order to achieve salah. And similarly, salah is the criterion of our faith, the discerning thing which distinguishes a Muslim and a non-Muslim. And scholars, when you go to any particular scholar, they will not tell you that if you commit zina, if you steal, if you drink alcohol, if you take drugs, or if you do all of the various kaba'ir, the major sins in Islam, they won't tell you that by doing these things you become a disbeliever. And neither will they tell you that you become a non-Muslim. However, when it comes to the salah, and the aspect of salah, when you know it is fard upon you, when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to perform it, and you knowing that hukum, you being a Muslim and living a life of a Muslim, you willfully and you deliberately ignore that command and you keep away from your salah, then the hukum for salah is far greater than all of the other kaba'is that we have in our deen. And therefore, regarding the salah, the scholars say that those who abandon it deliberately are no longer true Muslims. And this is not just their ijma, it's not just something that which they have stated on their own accord, but rather this is a statement recorded from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that the covenant between us and them, and the difference in another narration, that the difference between us and them, the Muslims and the non-Muslims, or the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians and other people, the difference between us and them is salah. And if anyone abandons the salah, which means willfully, deliberately, then it is though as he has become a disbeliever. And this is the qawl of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to establish the prayer, commanded you to remember Him, commanded you to stand up, commanded you to forsake all of the things of the dunya and establish the prayer and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you ignore and neglect and abandon all of these things, then according to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you do become a disbeliever. To what degree, to what extent, is another discussion for another time. But nevertheless, you can see the warning and the gravity of the warning coming from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because he didn't say if you drink alcohol, if you do zina, if you do all of these things, you become a disbeliever. But when it comes to salah, he did mention this to highlight the importance of maintaining and establishing the salah in every single day of your life. Because on the day of Qiyamah, and this hadith is supported by the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, مَا لَكُمْ فِي سَكَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ, that what led you, this discussion will take place between the people of Jannah and the people of the fire of hell. And the people of Jannah will ask the people of the fire of hell, what led you into the fire of hell? How did you end up here? Because they'll be thinking, wait a minute, you had life, we had life. You had opportunity, we had opportunity. You were given hidayah, we were given hidayah, yes? And we chose to apply our deen and follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we are, we've ended up in Jannah. And you were our partners, you were perhaps our community members, you were perhaps our family members, you were perhaps someone very close and near to us. So how did you, for heaven's sake as they say, how did you end up in hell? مَا لَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ, how did you end up in hell? And they will reply, the inhabitants of the fire of hell, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ, that we were not of those who used to pray. So this verse of the Quran explicitly supports this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that those people who abandon the salah, deliberately abandon the salah and keep away from the zikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove His rahmah, His mercy and protection from them, and they will go further and further away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consequently fall into the fire of hell due to their own inactions and due to their own failings. So this is why it's very, very important for us to constantly remind ourselves, and more importantly, to remind your children. Your children are very precious to you. How do you feel when your child falls down, when they have a graze, when they are ill, when they are in hospital, when so many problems happen to them mentally, physically, emotionally? All of these things, you are at the forefront of comforting them, supporting them, helping them, aiding them in their recovery and making them stand up again. But why are you not there making sure that you protect them from the fire of hell? Why are you not there? This is a question that you need to ask yourself. Just the way that you protect your child from all of the dangers in the dunya, more importantly, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that don't allow the dunya and the beauties of the dunya, and also by you being spending time with your children, to keep you away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that the people, and or rather the fuel of the fire of hell will be these people who did not establish their prayer and did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remind yourself and remind your children when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azan, when the azan is called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala al-falah. This is that reminder that you need to make sure that you are instilling within your children, and a reminder that you need to make sure that you are acting upon yourself, that come to the prayer and take your success. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that your success, your salvation, your protection, everything that you need is placed within the prayer. So if you want the success, and you need to come and to establish the prayer. And we hear this 5 times a day. But how many of us are actively listening to the azan, listening to the words of the azan, and understanding the announcement to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how many of us are actively following this? Because those who ignore it today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ignore them on the day of Qiyamah. Just the way in other verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to people, you go into the fire of hell. And they will say, why? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, because you ignored us in the dunya, and you ignored the ayat and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya, and today we will ignore you. So don't be with those people who listen to the azan, who know the azan is taking place, who hear the azan and then deliberately and willfully abandon the salah and keep away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guard strictly the prayer, especially the middle salah, and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with obedience. Again and again you will see the Quran replete with these commands of guarding the salah. of guarding the salah, especially the middle salah, which is the Salatul Asr, and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establishing the prayer to the best of your ability. And indeed, I am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no deity except me. So worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So we make sure that our children establish their finances, do their homework, and do all of the things of the dunya, and we ourselves including make sure that we have all of our priorities set. But the first priority for us to remember is the remembrance and zikr and the establishment of salah. For salah itself, it is a resistance, it is a protection and antivirus from the sins, because it develops spiritual strength and immunity to resist and refrain from sins and from temptations. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, recite what is revealed to you of the book and establish the salah. Very inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Verily the salah restrains one from shameful and evil acts. This is what the salah gives you in return. It gives you protection, it gives you warmth, it gives you success, and it protects you from sins, it protects you from evil acts. So this is the beauty of salah. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made excuses, that from one salah to the next salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all of your sins. And whatever you may have done from the kaba'ir, by you bowing down and prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even those sins can be washed away and removed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, from one jumu'ah to the next jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all of your sins as well. By praying salatul isha with jama'at and salatul fajr with jama'at, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records that you have been standing up for the entire night in nafal prayer, in the worship and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at how salah rewards those people who are establishing it, and how salah protects them from evil, from whims, and from their desires, because they know they have to remain pure. Their body has to remain pure, their actions have to remain pure, their clothes have to remain pure, and they know they will be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore, with what face, with what heart, with what intentions will they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when you know all of these things, then you will keep away from all of those which are abhorrent and disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gives a simple and beautiful example to the Sahaba ikram. He mentions that, tell me if there is a river flowing at the door of one of you and he bathes in that river 5 times a day, can any dirt remain on that individual? And the Sahaba ikram, they answered, no dirt can remain on his body. Why? Because he is washing himself and bathing himself 5 times a day. So the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam therefore said, so exactly like that is the example of the 5 daily prayers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases the sins of a person through each and every one of these salahs. And what exactly do we want in this dunya? We want purification in this dunya. We want to make sure that our heart and our body is pure, so that we can enter yet again back into the gardens of paradise. Because the admission and the requirement to enter back into Jannatul Firdaus is that your heart is pure, that your soul is pure, that you have no impurity whatsoever upon you. And that salah purifies your body, purifies your minds, and it purifies your soul, and removes all of these sins that may accumulate on you on a daily basis from salah to salah. So you constantly are in a state of purity and tahara. And one of the sunnahs of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that we often forget is that he would specifically refresh his wudu just before he used to go to sleep. Even though when you sleep and your wudu naturally breaks, nevertheless, he used to do wudu and then go to sleep, because you are sleeping in a state of purity. And this is why there's so many rewards for people to understand and reflect upon. So from one salah to the next, all of the minor sins are forgiven from Allah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart and your soul is purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are developing an immunity and a resistance to whims and desires and all of these temptations in your life as well. And you only get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, it is a means of sustenance. And you might think, well, how does salah physically nourish us and provide sustenance for us. But it's important to understand that there is a very, very close and inextricable link, very, very close, intricate link between the establishment of salah and receiving the sustenance, the rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions that وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُكُكَ. That instruct your family to perform the salah and adhere to it yourself. We do not ask you for sustenance. You know, people often say, well, I can't go to salah, I can't do fajr, I can't do isha, I can't do all of these salahs because I have to work, I have to earn money, I have to provide a livelihood and sustenance for my family. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we are the ones who give you provision. But when does He say this? He says, establish the prayer and then I will give you this. So there is a condition attached to the sustenance and the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So true rizq, barakah in that rizq, success in your life, progress in your life can be found when you establish the prayer. But those people who continue to pursue the dunya, yes, they will earn what they, you know, put their effort and energy into, but they'll not necessarily have the barakah in those earnings. And similarly, the portion of rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given them will not be given to them in the hereafter, because they've only been pursuing the dunya. So if you want true rizq and plentiful rizq in your life, within your home, and barakah in that rizq, then first thing that you need to do is to make sure that you establish the prayer. You make sure that you instruct your family. So this is a collective effort, not just for the parents to pray, but making sure that your children are praying alongside you, making sure they are paying heed to the call and responding to the call of Hayya ala salah, responding to the call of Hayya ala al-falah, and establishing the prayer within the home so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rizq can descend within their lives, within their homes, and they can truly be sustained by the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, as you know, that we delay often and we discard the salah for business purposes, for the purposes of the dunya, assuming that we solely and independently sustain ourselves. Nobody is in control of their rizq. Nobody is in control of their life or their breath or anything else in the dunya. It is an illusion that you have any self-power or you have any self-control. This is all in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, if you want true rizq, turn to the Razzaq, the provider, the sustainer, who is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is saying, I will give you your rizq, your true rizq, but once you establish the prayer, once you make sure that you bring your family to the prayer as well. So these things are very important for us to reflect upon, and to understand, and especially to remind our children in their holidays that it's not just about sleeping till 12 o'clock. And I know this is the norm for our children, unfortunately. Once it's school holidays, forget Fajr, forget even Zuhr, they don't wake up till about 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon because they're up all night, and they don't pray Fajr, and then they're asleep most of the day, and they're doing this again and again. Why are you allowing your children to cause their own destruction? Why are you allowing your children to go to the fire of hell? Why are you enabling your children to fall into the fire of hell? Because that very conversation that we had a few moments ago, where the people of Jannah will ask the people of the fire of hell, these people will be brethren, these people who will be cousins, these people from the same community will say, you had iman, we had iman, we practiced, and you seemingly practiced as well. So how did you end up in the fire of hell? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. Because we never used to establish the prayer. We used to stay up all night. And parents will also be questioned, why did you allow your child to waste their life, waste their time, waste their days, and waste their nights, and not establish the prayer, especially from when they're 7 years onwards, and most importantly, when they reach the age of puberty. You will also be questioned for the actions of your children as well, why you did not instruct and encourage and force them to establish their prayer. Just the way if they don't do their homework, or if they don't reach their exams or their work, you will always be on top of them. How dare you not do this? You know how much nuksan you are doing? You know how much damage you are doing to yourself and your future and your family, to my izzat, and all of these things. You'll be very, very quick to pounce on those tangible things of nuksan and nafa and faida and success. But when it comes to the salah, oh, it's okay, khaira, let it go, let it go. But we ourselves are allowing our children to fall into the fire of hell. So instructing your family is a very, very important aspect of establishing the prayer yourself, and also making sure that your family are doing that as well. Inculcating, imbibing the love of salah within their heart is very, very important. For 6 months after the revelation of this particular ayah, that وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, to instruct your family to establish the prayer, and you also maintain and establish the prayer, for 6 months after the revelation of this particular ayah, when leaving for Salatul Fajr, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would go out of his way to the house of Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and he would say to them both that salah, O my family. But we can't even be bothered to put alarms on, or for us to call our children, or for us to bang the wall and say, "Puttarot, my daughter, wake up," or for us to actively go to their bedrooms and wake them up. We will do that if they have an exam. We will do that if they need to reach their workplaces. We will do that if they have to catch a flight. We will do that for all of the worldly things. But when it comes to salah, let them sleep, bichare takin. You know, they've had a long day. They've had a hard day. It's okay. You know, they'll do qaza. No, it's not okay. Look at the actions of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He knew that Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra would establish the prayer, and she did. He knew that Sayyidina Ali would be at the forefront of establishing the prayer and instructing his family. But nevertheless, he fulfilled the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6 months consecutively, going and calling out to his own family and saying, "Get up, salah, O my family." And this is why even Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the Quran, a beautiful verse of the Quran, he mentions, "O my Rabb, that make me steadfast in salah. Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salati wa min zurriyati." Look at what the dua, he's always concerned, not just for himself, but also for the welfare, for the dunya, and most importantly for the hereafter of his children, of his offspring. That he says, "Oh my Lord, make me first and foremost steadfast in salah," to establish the salah on time, in the correct manner, in the correct fashion, and with the correct khushu and concentration and devotion, and also for my offspring as well. And this is a very, very poignant aspect to reflect upon and ask yourself, that how many of us are always making sure that we seek the best for our children, for their future, and especially for their hereafter as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that He used to enjoin salah and zakah upon His family. كَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam used to instruct his family and enjoin his family. But we will do so many other things about making sure the dunya aspects are in place, their financial aspects in place, their house, their mortgage, their car, all of these things. But we will not be making sure that we establish firmly and deeply rooted within their hearts the establishment of salah and zakah within their life. So yet again, as I mentioned, especially during these half-term holidays, it's important for family members, for parents, for those people who are in, have responsibility, they are guardians, to make sure that they establish the salah first and foremost, and enjoin salah within their family, within their homes, and unto their children, just the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us in the Quran of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we learn from the examples of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and remind them about all of these virtues, remind them of the gift of salah and the where it came from, the mightiest of heavens, from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how it protects an individual, and how it is the pillar and the core of their deen. And if we succeed in our salah, we will be successful in all of these things. But if our child, for example, loses a large sum of money, or causes us a loss and nuksan in our business, what we will do? What will we do? We will immediately reprimand them. We will immediately tell them off. And we'll also make sure that we have countermeasures and adopt certain measures and safeguards to ensure that that does not happen again. If my son or my daughter breaks my phone or my screen, do you think you're going to give your child the phone again? If they damage your car, or if they break something, what do? You make sure, you know, once bitten, twice shy. You make sure you don't make the same mistake again. So if they do this nuksan, this dunyavi nuksan, worldly nuksan of business, of izzat, of honor, of wealth, you will make sure it doesn't happen again. But what happens when they miss their salah again and again and again? What countermeasures do we put in place? How do we reprimand them? What do we do to make sure that they are establishing the salah in their daily life? Where are our actions? And what do we do with ourselves? These are the questions that we'll be asked on the day of Qiyamah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to sincerely and correctly establish the prayer, not just with our body, but also with our heart, with our soul, and to establish the salah with khushu. Because once a sahabi came and he just banged his head, you know, sirmar, as they say, come, bang your head, bang, 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 and that's it, salah puri hogi. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him again and again and again, return and perform your salah again, for verily you have not offered your salah in the correct manner. And then he explained to make sure that you go into ruku until all of your muscles are relaxed, and you come out of ruku and then all of your muscles, your adalat, are relaxed, and then you go into sajda, all of your bodily parts and your heart needs to be in a state of relaxation and zikr and contemplation and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just a robotic means of praying your salah. There are many, many other spiritual elements to salah, and God willing, inshallah al-Aziz, will cover them as well. Inshallah al-Aziz. Wa quli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khaira. For those people who missed some parts of today's khutbah or last week's khutbah, you can find all of the khutbahs as well as the audio recordings to the khutbahs on the mosque website. Please do go reflect on those khutbahs, share them, and listen to them again if you've missed anything out, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can truly enable us all to act upon the beautiful verses of the Quran and the commands of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Kal se namaz fajr ki jamaat inshaAllah al-Aziz 5:30 baje hogi, namaz zuhr ki jamaat inshaAllah.